97.5, The Fanatic.
Good evening, everybody. And I think for many of you it is not good, but it is still the evening. Sunday evening on the heels of a Philadelphia Eagles 37-31 improbable loss to the Miami Dolphins.
This is our new norm.
Oh my, 5-7 on the season. I, honest to God, this is D-Line. I'm, and I am with you until midnight. I have Tyler Zuli here to keep me company for a couple of hours along with all of you. I, honest to goodness, never dreamed I was coming in to be talking about a 37-31 loss to the Miami Dolphins.
Every time we play that win-loss game at the beginning of the season, even it's before crazy. We knew how bad the Dolphins were, we were just like, yep, that's a win. Let's move on.
I think, bad. Yeah, really bad, Tyler. I think part of what today, and I'd love to hear from people out there, is that I think it's 12 games in, it's 13 weeks in. I think you must arrive at the solution that they're not a very good team. They forget the Dolphins, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the reason I say it is because now three losses in a row, but every loss, seven total, it's something different that you point to. Right? So how do you have 5 weeks in a row where your defense has finally come back to life after they got healthy?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is it's you finally feel like things were clicking defensively. And then the lapse came today against the Dolphins.
I mean, so many adjectives you could say there. Now, I will give credit to Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he took advantage of Jalen Mills ridiculously. And part of that, like knowing the guy, that his guys had a height advantage and he put it up there for them to win the jump ball repeatedly.
Well, and that's the thing is, too, it was like a flick of a switch. You saw it turn and they went, wow, we can attack this guy. Hey, coach, fade routes all day long.
All day long.
Ones and nines. That's all we're doing.
All day long. And the other one for me, and I think this goes to the group, meaning players, and that staff, coaching staff, I'm sorry, 10 penalties for the 91 yards. To me, undisciplined, they can, every week it's a different phrase. We have to clean that up. We have to be more consistent, meaning don't make the penalties. That's 13 weeks into a season. That, to me, is just a group that there's a nonchalant, laissez-faire way about them that leads to losses like this.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, too, when we talked about it in the preseason, should guys play, should they not play? And then week one and two is kind of the extension, and we realized how bad the game against Washington was. That should be the outlier.
Right.
That shouldn't be the norm, and it's become the norm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know we play it to have fun with it, the new norm. I mean, the jokes. I was watching the postgame show before I came in here on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I mean, those not the new norm jokes.
This is our new norm.
And then it's, I don't know exactly when I say it's hard for me to listen to Doug for sure. Carson, I thought, had one good thing that he did say, and it was that we do not make the critical play. And that's on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I know that's the first time I felt like, well, okay, now there's something coming out of your mouth that speaks truth.
Yeah, it's step up. It's not coach speak or player speak. It's actually meant to be said and said the right way.
Yeah. So that was hard. Then you go into the locker room. Malcolm Jenkins, pretty straightforward guy. Last week, he kind of, you know, was saying, we're doing our part. And I don't think he meant to personally take a shot at the offense, but I will say this, that is not a unit that's together as a whole group, because when you have somebody kind of hinting at we're playing well as a defense early in the year, you weren't. I know you can say you had injuries, but Carson could say he had injuries the last couple of weeks on the offensive side of the ball. Today, pretty much you have everybody but Jordan Howard, but would that really matter? Because we obviously know Doug Peterson is going to stay committed to the pass. I'll steal the numbers. Let's see. Over the last three games, Tyler, 155 pass plays, 53 called run plays. 3-1 ratio.
I wonder, and I know that it was a different season, and we can't do it on the surface because they're two different teams in two different years. But do you remember when they the year they won the Super Bowl, when they had the Doug calling out moment in after the loss against Kansas City? And then the next week they came down and ran the ball a little bit more against the Giants, and then they rammed it down the Chargers' throats with a run.
Yes.
Does that have to happen again, or is that past that?
No. Well, he's past it. Doug Peterson's past it.
I think he thinks he's perfect.
I think he thinks the way he does not, every time you try to get to the root of that, that answer just is not coming. I mean, he'll find a way to say something different. But today, you had 19 run plays, 17 carries for Miles Sanders, and you had 48 pass plays. I mean, that's a big number.
It's a huge disparity, and that's the kind of numbers you have when you're down 37-10.
Right, you had
not
a 28.
37-31.
Oh, and even if you point to each of the last 2 weeks, those were one-score games.
And low-scoring games.
And for this one, I believe after the 28-14 lead, I think there were three running plays after that.
You
have a 14-point lead.
I don't like to call coaches out for surface-level things. This is beyond surface-level, and it's to the point now where somebody has to take accountability. We talked about it all summer with Gabe Kapler. Now we're rolling it right into Doug Peterson. We talked about it with Brett Brown, and Brett Brown was winning games.
And you would still get those calls today, and they're still perfect at home.
Right.
But, I mean, some things are so obvious.
Accountability has to be there.
I mean, Doug takes the accountability. He says, that's on me.
The coach speak, right. Yeah, it gets back to coach speak.
Right, exactly.
Which is you know what they're saying. It's not tough to decipher.
No.
But, you know, maybe something has to be said that's not throwing somebody under the bus, but more than coach speak.
Exactly. So, for instance, for me at home, and I'm not trying to be mean and take a shot at the Dolphins, but when he says three times to me, they're a good team out there.
No, they're not.
And what do you want me to do? Ignore that they are 31st in the league against the run? You want me to ignore those stats and agree with you? And you're only going to run it 19 times? I'm not supposed to make a calculated, educated decision about that team that came in with 2-9, have given away so much, you know they're in a rebuilding stage, had the better halftime chat and made adjustments than you did. I don't know.
You don't have to be in your nice seat right now. You don't have to even be in Doug Peterson's seat. Anyone at home can take those numbers you saw because they flash them up every single game.
Yep, they do.
And so if we get them and Fox has them, does Doug Peterson just pretend he doesn't have it?
No, I know. It's frightening. 610-632-0975. Please weigh in on the conversation. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe you saw something we haven't even hit on yet. But please do share. 610-632-0975. He's Tyler. I'm Dee. Let's hit the phones and go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
TD, pleasure as always, Tyler and Dee. I'd be remiss if I didn't quote a John Candy phrase from the movie Cool Runnings. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. You were ready, and you choked. The second half collapse that I think really happened, not only offensively, yes, they were able to score literal points, field goals, but that, you know, they didn't blow the doors off them by any sense in the way we expected them to. You know, and then today, another instance, the trick play. It's so strange. And I told you this before, D. This is why I like those Sixers and Flyer games during the week and Philly games during the week, because everything could be better in one win from them and make me forget that this happened. I am so sick of sitting there harping on losses for a week because it's this simple. There's no creativity to this offense at all. I don't care if it's Greg Ward, Alshon Jeffrey, or DeSean Jackson out there, or for that matter, let's throw in another one, T.O. It don't matter. If you have no creativity and you're that predictable, then what are we even doing? And then when you have Ryan Fitz pointing out guys that are being covered by Jalen Mills, and then they go to it, like, shouldn't that be a further indictment at that? Jalen Mills is the definition of insanity because he gets burnt almost every time. One good game, and then he goes away and gets burnt. it's an indictment on the whole team. But to say it's just one guy's, one person's fault, Doug Howie, I can't really put the blame all on one.
I would totally agree with you. There's no one person.
Their own part to this whole conundrum.
Yeah, a conundrum is what it is. Chris, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, TD.
To go to his point about no creativity, and he mentions Alshon. Alshon had a good day.
He did. I think that there has certainly been a reason to maybe doubt the lack of intensity. Not hustle. I don't do that with professionals, but intensity for sure. Today he played well. There were a couple of balls that one ball that he caught towards the sideline that he initially bobbled and kept his feet in bounds. It was a nice play.
Sure.
And he also set them up. You know, it was still a Hail Mary attempt, but he helped them set up at least a manageable throw that wasn't
that
70
actually
yards.
Got there.
Right,
yeah,
got
right.
to the end zone.
Yeah, actually got there. The other thing, because they always say, well, even, you know, he has his catch, I think, 9 today. But why they wouldn't send a Miles Sanders out every now and then? Like, use his speed.
Out of the backfield or as a slot receiver?
No, well, maybe both. Because I said to myself, I mean, Belichick has done that.
Belichick has used lesser talent and done that. And I don't think Belichick's ever had a running back, well, maybe since Corey Dillon, that's been as athletically gifted as Miles Sanders.
As Miles Sanders, yeah.
But he gets more out of guys like Rex Burkhead and James White than we ever have seen from Miles Sanders.
Because he finds them. Like, you know, he doesn't have to have
And they create mismatches.
And they create mismatches, yeah. By the way, while we were on the 4 of the top 5 rushing teams. Let's just tell people so we don't, I'm not crazy. The Ravens, and I know Lamar is a big part of that. 49ers, Minnesota Vikings, Buffalo Bills. Winning teams.
They all win.
They run the ball.
Now, I know that winning, when you have a lead, leads to you having better stats running the game, you know, because you're going to be running at the end of the game. But they established the run. You watch Lamar Jackson today beat up the best defense in football.
Mm-hmm.
And they won a game, a sludge-like game, 20-17, because they controlled the clock and ran the ball.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, just in terms of, you know, analytics. And by the way, like, I think from what I've read, John Harbaugh's an analytics guy. But that doesn't keep him from doing things that maybe analytics don't say. So clearly running the ball, because it works not just for his quarterback, for his team.
And I know that the Ravens are the outlier, like you mentioned, because of Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson threw the ball 23 times today. They ran the ball 38 times.
We're talking 19 and 48.
19. 155 pass attempts in 3 games.
155.
That is, you can't do it. You can't win that
crazy.
Way.
That's so crazy. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. We got Gil in Atlanta. Gil, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, thanks. I think coaches that are offensive-minded tend to pass the ball more because they feel like they're going to be a genius. You know, and Doug Peterson is like a clearly overrated coach. Like, he overrates himself. Like, as soon as Frank Reich leaves, the creativity left with him. You know what I mean? It seems coincidental that Carson Wentz had his best year with Frank Reich. Andrew Luck had his best statistical year with Frank Reich. Now they have Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett looks like a quarterback. You know, it can't be a coincidence. And then this guy hires an in-house coach that got fired by his dad, you know, because he's not threatened by that guy. You know what I mean? It's irritating because it's like we're wasting Carson Wentz's career. And beyond that, we're wasting money giving Carson because you don't surround him with smart coaches and talented wide receivers. It's irritating.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think the best coaches like to surround themselves with smart people. I totally agree with, because then that's how you end up with those coaching trees that have been around for years and years and different eras.
Yes. I mean, the guys that were the only guy that's successful, I mean, winning successful beyond Doug Peterson, because Doug Peterson won a fluky Super Bowl. But John Harbaugh, since he was a special teams guy, he probably like is more balanced in his mind. thinking, I have to run and pass. You know what I mean? Like, where Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, they just want to be known as geniuses, and they pass, and you pass your way out of the game. Like, you know, you're up 14. You're not running the ball? Like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? And we're always looking at teams like they're the scrubs, but actually, in reality, we are the homecoming team. We're the team that they're looking at like, oh, man, we could beat them. You know what I mean?
Well, I do think teams probably look at the Eagles because there's not been one game this year that they've put it together on both sides of the ball. Not that I can remember. Maybe the Packers.
I agree. I completely agree. I think we're shallow how as Eagle fans. We're looking at our team like it's the sexy woman, but it's really the fat girl. Like, you know what I mean? It's not really what it is. Like, we're delusional sometimes and thinking our team is better than what it is.
Gil, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. All right. Well, everybody has a different way of making the analogy.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the analogy, if you don't mind, Dave, I got to go back to the one thing that he said about how Doug is almost trying to surround himself with lesser coaches. Good coaches who surround themselves with other good coaches aren't in fear of their jobs. You know why? Because they're winning football games.
Yeah.
And when you win, you don't lose your job.
No.
Do you really, like, even the Redskins
I'm not disputing that he might be right.
That you think he's afraid that?
No, that he may not know that it's that important to have. Like, I don't think anybody would put Frank Reich and Mike Groh in the same caliber, same sentence. Well, one guy now has a head job, and I don't think anybody thinks the other guy's getting a head job anytime soon.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. And the difference between knowing that what you're doing, like, I just can't fathom that Doug is so oblivious to the fact that Mike Groh's not a good coach. Is it?
I don't know.
Is it us? Is it? You know, it's like when you're breaking up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Is it you? Or is it me?
Yeah, right.
Are we cerebral to the point where we think we know better than Doug, or is Doug that oblivious?
I don't know,
it could be both.
I don't know how he could be on the plane tonight. Again, you're 5-7. You just lost 37-31 to a team that you can say that's a good team, and they had a lot of players who had good days. I would say, how are you looking at that film like you have seven times this year with a loss? And it's always something different. What does that say about you guys as a group?
Well, and I want to know, too, we talked about this earlier in the season that the Eagles play better with their backs against the wall or whatever.
Well, they had it against the wall a couple times.
That's exactly my point. Where did that go?
Right. Because
it's gone.
When the Green Bay game, I would say they went in there, had their back against the wall for sure.
Buffalo
for sure. And then I would have said today, coming off the Patriots and Seahawks, except for one thing. And every guy in that locker room who was asked the question, did you take the Dolphins too lightly? Every one of them said, no, of course they're going to say that. However, there's a little bit of truth to you thought coming off of the two losses where you had played very well defensively against two of the top teams in the league, that if you had just showed up and did your job, you could beat this team.
Yeah.
And you were wrong.
Yeah, you can't walk into any NFL game. This isn't college. You're not playing Central Connecticut State. No offense to Central Connecticut State. But if you're a top-tier team, you're going to beat them.
Yep.
This is the NFL.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's check in with Forrest in Columbia. Forrest, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing all right. How are you, sir?
Good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Excellent, because I love turkey, mashed potatoes, and stuffing.
Well, that's the same.
And family.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it was 28-14, and I work at a restaurant, and I was starting to see a trend. Whenever I work, we win. And so I thought, here we go again. I got to work the Dallas game. And then they blew it. I couldn't believe it. And then I read the reports, and they ran it three times when they were up 28-14.
Yeah, it is bizarre.
I'm only coaching Dynasty of NCAA 14, and that's the only time I'll be a coach. But when I'm up two scores, I run the ball. It's not that hard to understand.
I agree. And actually, I'm not sure, Tyler, I was listening to Doug, but I don't think that was asked. When you were up two scores, why did you abandon the run? I didn't hear that one.
No, I don't think it was either.
I don't think that was asked.
I don't get it. And also, I watched our guy Scott Van Pelt this week. Most boring show ever. Okay, bye.
That's a reference to last week. Somebody made, it wasn't Forrest, but a caller made a reference between Scott Van Pelt and Tiger Woods, and he must have been listening, so he brought up Scott.
Okay, I was. I'm glad you got that reference, so we both were just sitting here confused.
I was like, "What is he talking about?" I disagree, though. I actually like that.
I like Scott Van Pelt a lot. I think him and Bucci together are fantastic.
Oh, I love that show. All right, that's different strokes for different folks. let's check in with Jeff in Riverside. Jeff, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
KD, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Just kind of piggybacking off of the last caller. You know, I was real high coming off the Dallas loss on Thursday. You know, had a great Thanksgiving with my family. And I was like thinking, okay, yeah, the Eagles can go in here, do a great job, clean it up on the, you know, on the Dolphins and just, you know, maybe run five. I'm getting my hopes up as a typical Eagles fan. Oh, man. I don't know who to blame at this point.
At some point I would have to say, do you blame, like, preparation? I just don't understand that. All right, your offense looks good. But to me, and I'll say this to you, Jeff, and to you, Tyler, Carson was good, but not when he needed to be in late in the game. The one was three and out, correct? Fumbled the ball on another play, even though he didn't lose it. He overthrew Alshon on a couple of occasions, and I know he took accountability for that. But if I just read his numbers, then I'm going to say, well, that doesn't look bad. But if you watched the game when you needed him, like, again, the critical play does not happen.
Yep, I'm seeing that over and over. And, you know, just looking at the scoreboard, I'm like, the Eagles put up 31 points. I'd be like, yeah, the Eagles handily win that. But, you know, the defense, I feel like the defense let us down on this one.
No kidding. No, I mean, that's an absolute.
You know, and it's just so frustrating. It's like you get your hopes up. The defense is going so well over the past couple weeks. You're waiting for the offense to keep it to get going, and it just didn't happen. So it's funny, though, that we still have a couple weeks coming up that we're still technically in it. And that's where I'm like, as an Eagles fan, I'm still going to root for them, but I'm just like, where are we at this year, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. Thank you for the phone call. You're right. Mathematically, you are absolutely in it, and it's not an overwhelming schedule to look at. I don't like playing a division foe 4 weeks in a row.
And the same team twice in 3 weeks.
And to run the table on it, you know?
It's never easy. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
In your division, I think that's, you know, but it's what your schedule presents, and you have the two-win team twice.
Well, and you feel that way with a good team.
Yeah.
And this is not a good team.
Right. This is a team that's unpredictable. That's really what they are. And obviously Washington played well enough to win their game today against Carolina. So they're a 3-win team right now. And then you have Dallas, which is a wild card. It's not a great division. And honestly, even if whichever one wins it, and we know it's going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys, I don't have high hopes that anybody would fear them in the postseason.
No, I mean, you've already seen Seattle come in here. San Francisco is just as good. Minnesota has beaten the Eagles. I know it was in Minnesota, but still. And Green Bay wants revenge. They're the only ones that have lost to the Eagles. They would want to come in here and beat that team.
Yeah. And for me, for this week, to it be the healthy week, by and large, and that's what you did? Sit tight, Sean. Alex, we'll come back and take your call. 610-632-0975. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm D. Lynam, and we are with you until midnight.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, it wasn't the kind of Sunday many football fans in the Delaware Valley were looking forward to. Though it did start well. And by the way, I am D-Line. I'm here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler is with me as well. We'll continue taking your phone calls, 610-632-0975. You get the turnover that you dream of at the beginning of this game. You go up 10-0. I know we keep pointing to the 28-14, because it's in the second half and it's two scores. But the 10-0 was strong, too. I mean, I think you could have ripped their hearts out at that point had you been able to go up, you know, get another score, add to that, or your defense stopped them.
Yeah, and it's 10-0, and then here are the Dolphins' first three drives. Of course, we know the one play, the pick on the first play.
Yep.
Three and out punt, they got 1 yard. Three and out punt, they went -5 yards. So you're in prime position that even if you can get three, you're up two scores, but it's two touchdowns, which is different than the field goal and the touchdown.
Correct.
You're looking at burying a Dolphins team that probably is going to be down 13-0 at the end of one. They're ready to go home.
Yeah.
And you gave them life.
You gave them life. I mean, Fitzpatrick has definitely had some success against the Eagles. The one that stands out to me was just last year when he was at Tampa, but he had a DeSean Jackson.
Right.
You know, so we were like, well, DeSean always likes to beat up on his former team. You know, he didn't have a DeSean here. But, man, Fitzpatrick. I mean, I know the guy's a journeyman and been a lot of places, but he picked them apart.
Well, and we make fun of guys like that a lot, you know, the journeyman. But you don't get to that status by accident.
No.
You clearly can play a little bit. Are you a Hall of Famer? No, but you've created yourself a nice little niche, and he's been in the league for 14 seasons or whatever it's been.
Yes. Yeah.
People want him because he's an attractive backup because he does things like this.
Because he does things like this. Exactly. 610-632-0975. We check in with Alex, who's on the cell. Alex, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, D. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Yeah.
Did you
definitely
watch?
Definitely had better days. I watched the game. Thank you for taking my call, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I've been a fan of the Eagles. I've been going to the game since I was 4 years old. My father's had season tickets for about 35 years. And honestly, if I see any more of this nonsense from Doug Peterson, I believe that after next season, if it continues in next season, he should be fired and Mike Rowe with him.
And when you say the nonsense, the lack of creativity or the love with passing the ball and not running it enough, what part bothers you the most?
Exactly as you pointed out, specifically the not running the ball enough. Now, I understand Jordan Howard was out. But Howie Roseman drafted Miles Sanders, who's looking like a pretty good running back in his rookie year. I don't see the reason as to why you can't give him the ball more than the 17, 18 amount of times that you gave him the ball in terms of carrying the ball. Now, I know he had a couple catches, but that's besides the point. Now, the reason why the running game, the lack of, is a huge issue for me, and it makes me want to bash my head against the wall when Doug says, oh, it's on me, I got to do better, whatever. The two games that we've won this year that were the most impressive wins, where we beat Green Bay and we beat Buffalo, both on the road. Who was the offensive player that featured the most in that game and put up the most production for us in both of those games? It was Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, yeah, absolutely. I think in one of them, I might have it backwards, but one of them he had 20 carries. And the other, I want to say 15.
Yeah, but again, you give him the ball and good things happen. Miles Sanders, you give him the ball 17, 18 times. But throwing the ball 48 times, it's the imbalance to me that creates all the issues. I don't understand why, as you said, you have two touchdowns after Jeffrey scores, and Wentz put together a fine game. Wentz looked nowhere near like the atrocity that he was last 2 weeks. Wentz had a very good game, in my opinion. And to run the ball only three more times, regardless if you have Jordan Howard or not, give Miles Sanders the ball. He's shown the ability to be able to get 4.5 yards a carry. All you needed to do was give him the ball at least 10 times following Jeffrey's touchdown, and I'm pretty sure you win the game. It really isn't that hard to figure out. And when Doug is saying it's on me, I got to do a better job, he's kind of like Andy Reid and the similar nonsense.
Well, that's where he learned it.
Yeah, and I just don't agree with it. So to me, if Mike Rowe and Doug don't clean their act up on the offensive end in terms of the play calling, and if this continues in the next season, I believe that they should both be cut from the team and fired, because Howie Roseman, for all of his misses in the draft, has put together the personnel that's good enough to win games. I mean, so thanks for taking my call. But
I appreciate it, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Doug's got himself, a place.
There's cushion.
There's definitely cushion. I mean, this town waited for a Super Bowl for way, way, way too long that the man who delivered it is not going anywhere on the short term. Now, and I'm not sure even anybody on his staff this year. I mean, they will point to a lot of injuries, Tyler. I think they will. And then they'll look at this game, though. They will say this. I think this is his worst loss in his tenure of his, what is, we're 4 years
of
now?
Of his four-year tenure.
I wouldn't say the New Orleans game would, in season, not
yeah, because
playoff.
New Orleans was significantly better than them at that point.
I mean, this is a bad team.
Yeah. I would almost tend to agree, because the one that I look back on with the most, like, just cringeworthiness was the Detroit game his first year, where Ryan Matthews fumbled real late in the game. But I don't even know if the Eagles were talented enough to win that game at the time. It was Carson's fourth game of his career.
Right.
And they were on the road.
And that would have been then Doug's fourth game of his career.
Right.
Right.
So you look at this, now you're at game 44. This is inexcusable.
Right. To me, I just think when you look too often that they look unprepared. They went into Dallas, they look unprepared. This game, they look unprepared. The two home losses, I'll give you this. You could say New England has had a patsy schedule, but they're still New England. And Seattle is a good football team. So I would even give you a little bit of a leash with those two losses, even though they were on your home field. And I thought there's no way you can't come out of that with a split. But this one and going into Dallas looking as unprepared as they did, I just don't get it.
Yeah, and there has to be a look. Like you said, with the split, I thought that the Patriots game was going to be the easier of the two to win simply because it's not the Tom Brady that we know of in the past.
Mm-mm.
They win by defense, and they won that game by defense, much like they beat the Cowboys by defense.
Yep.
But after you lose that game, you can't afford to lose to Seattle, and then on top of lose to
Russell
the Dolphins.
Right, Russell didn't even have his kind of day, and that might have had a lot to do with your defense. So how do you explain from Russell Wilson looking like he did last week, helped by your defense playing well, to then a Ryan Fitzpatrick looking like he's going to be, you know, all pro this year, which I'm not taking anything away from him because, as we mentioned, Journeyman doesn't get to still have a job at 37 if he hasn't done good things along the way in a backup role being thrown in there time to time. It's probably, you know, I mean, if anything, he does that best.
You do good things, right? And I know we did just give him praise, but two years, two games against him, 767 yards, seven touchdowns in the last two games against Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I know, and I saw a graphic in his career. He's like 3-3-1, but then they put those same numbers the last two. I mean, shame. What is Jim Schwartz saying today?
I don't know. Or
tonight.
I don't know. And you know Jim Schwartz, he's a little bit more vocal than Doug Peterson is. He's not going to throw Jalen Mills under the bus because it was a bad team effort. But I think he's going to say something if he speaks this week.
Oh, he has to speak, I think.
I think he has to say something.
Something. Yeah, I mean, you can't just look forward. You had better go backwards and say, how did you give up 37 points? How did your team do this? 610-632-0975. Kevin's with us in Miami. Kevin, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Dave, man? I am highly upset right now because I don't even know where to go with this game. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, every week it's something different, and everybody's mad because I'm talking about Carson Wentz. But who you go to? So now I want to talk about Howie Roseman. I feel like he just didn't put a team together that can win games. Like, I don't even want to talk about Dallas. I just heard you talking about Dallas. I'm sorry. Very sensitive to that subject because I went to that game and it was very embarrassing. I don't even want to talk about that game. But to me, this is just the exact same embarrassment. I just don't get it. Like, where can we go at this point? Who do we point to?
I'm not, well, first of all, there's different areas. Today, most of the finger pointing would go to your defense and in particular to Jalen Mills. You know, in previous games, last week it was definitely finger pointing towards Carson. That was one of his worst performances. Earlier in the season, I think everybody just who wanted to said that injuries were a huge problem. Me, I never really think that's worth the argument because I think in the NFL, people, teams across the board are banged up. Now, an individual can be more valuable to your team, and if he's out, it shows more. I get that. And the greater depth and the good teams, they get through those kind of things. The Patriots are getting through it right now. They have a lot of injuries. So I agree with you. I would be curious of what Howie would say about today's performance. He's not going to talk about that, but does he see it in terms of the structure of the roster, or would he at some point think it's how his roster is being used or not used? I'm not sure.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's so funny because I don't even know where to start.
I know. You know what you do? You put this in the rearview mirror and you say, I hope on a Monday night they can beat the Giants on their home field.
But every week it's something different. I feel like everybody's getting away from the main point. To me, it got to be the main point. You know, it all starts around coaching and GMs. You know what I'm saying? So if every week, if you have a disagreement, like, okay, it's Carson. Like you said, last week it was Carson. Now this week is defense. But defense just hold it. Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. To low points.
I know. I appreciate the phone call, Kevin. No, it's true. I'd be curious because I came in saying if it is always something different in their losses, for sure.
Well, it is. And the one that you mentioned was the injury. Do you know that the Patriots literally took two planes to Houston today? One for their healthy players and one for their sick players. They have a flu-like symptom going around.
Oh, my goodness.
That they literally had to take two planes to almost quarantine the sick guys away from the healthy players.
Whoa.
You know what they're going to do in Houston tonight? Probably win a football game.
Yeah, that's the 8:30 game.
Yeah, yeah. It's coming up soon. Oh, yeah. That goes to your point where you cannot strictly blame injuries.
No, you can use it,
but you can't blame them.
Absolutely. Josh, Joel, Mike, we're coming back with your calls on the other side. I want to give you your full time, 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, it hasn't changed. The Eagles still lost earlier today, 37-31 down in Miami. By the way, the number of people who traveled to see this game, they always represent. I mean, the Eagles and their fan base is amazing to me. And if it's a good destination, forget about it. I hope they all had more fun leading up to it than they actually had at the game, because that could not have been fun to sit there.
I got to tell you, at least it was Miami. You get away for a weekend. You know, especially with the long weekend with Thanksgiving. If you would have gone to Detroit and lost this game,
in that
you would have been miserable.
Right, in that way, terrible. Just to reiterate again, 10-0 to start the game. The Eagles were up 21-14 at the half. They have the ball to start the second half. They go up two touchdowns, and then they lose 37-31. On the day, they had 10 penalties for 91 yards. Again, that's a big one, in my opinion. Carson had a decent day, threw for three touchdowns, over 300 yards. They did once again abandon the run. Miles Sanders, pretty good, 17 carries, 83 yards, 4.9 per carry. But there were only three running plays after they were up 28-14. And therein lies a problem that we just don't have an answer for.
Inexcusable.
I think. But I really would like Doug to answer that or be asked. Especially
you've got to ask the tough question
after the 28-14. I mean, 48 passes. And if you're just listening, 155 pass plays over the last three games. And I remind you that, first of all, you were not out of any of them. This one, we just said 28-14, you were up in the third quarter. And the last two were one-score games. 155 pass plays, and then you end up with three losses. Let's check in with Josh on the cell. Josh, how are you? And thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
How are you? How are y'all today? This evening. Let me express this, and I'm highly upset. Doug Peterson, time is up. I mean, seriously. I mean, he has no cohesion with his quarterback. They play like he coached, up and down. Okay. After a while, you know, when you play football after a while, which I played, you stop hearing what the coach has to say.
All right, wait, can I back you up 1 second? When you say he has no, what was the adjective used with Carson?
No cohesion.
No cohesion. Okay. I feel like he's always, by putting the ball in his hands to throw it 48 times, says to me he wants his quarterback to do it all.
No, what he wants to do is live out a quarterback life he never had. So,
that could be true.
You know, that's where that's at, okay? How many winning seasons has Doug had?
Two.
One?
Two.
Two? Listen, his time is up.
Well,
Mills needs to go, and Darby needs to go. I mean, they need to clean house and call it a day. And I will start with Doug first. I know Schwartz is after his job anyway, so you know, it might be some sabotage in there somewhere.
Today wouldn't be the day he should apply for that job. His defense gave up 37 points, friend.
Yeah, it's like this. They're not listening to him. I mean, once you lose your locker room, and it's like the, you know, a peripheral, I just hear you, but nothing is registering, it's time to go. Okay.
I appreciate the phone call, Josh. Well, I will give you this, that the 10 penalties is usually how I use the example, that they're the accountability, and that starts with your staff holding people accountable to do the job properly. If you don't have that as a basis for this is how we will be successful, then that's a problem. But he's not going anywhere, so you can say it. But that's not going to change.
Undisciplined, yes, very much so today.
Yeah.
And it need to be accountable, of course. But did we flash back to 2016 where all of a sudden, like, no one trusts Doug and the fact that Jim Schwartz is coming for his job? Because that narrative died after the 2016 season.
It did. And was it the 2016? That was where he never ran the ball in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
The world questioned him. He must not hear it the same way.
Well, and that was when they, you know, the Schwartz had to come out and say, I don't want Doug's job, I'm here to help, and all of that stuff. But, you know, to have two winning seasons in 3 years, and your first year was 7-9, which gets you two wins away from a winning season.
Right.
If you can't be 66% successful in the NFL, no one is ever going to be a coach again.
Right. I mean, and there's a very good chance he ends up either 8-8 or 9. Well, 9-7 that's winning out.
Yeah, it would be another winning season.
Yeah.
It's not likely, but it could happen.
It could. Yeah.
We talked about it. It's kind of a long shot.
Yes. And I think the only reason that you don't want to spend too much time today talking about that is because you don't deserve to be talking about the postseason when you lose a game like you lost today. It shouldn't be allowed to. It's almost like a crutch. You know, well, we did this, but if you look, it's not crazy to say we'll win out and then we would be in the postseason. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that's the narrative you should have when you lose 37-31 to a team that came into the game 2-9.
And I think Rob Motti made a really good point earlier today when you looked at last year's team and Carson went down again. And Nick Foles stepped back up. And I know I don't want to do the Wentz-Foles thing, but I just wanted to compare the two teams. You look at the two teams, and that team that went into the playoff game, you went, yeah, they could probably beat Chicago. I think they're good enough to beat Chicago. And they did. I don't feel that way about anybody.
What NFC opponent do you feel like these guys can beat right now?
I think they would get steamrolled.
That would be an opponent in the postseason for them. I mean, I'm not talking about in general.
You're looking at four teams.
Yeah.
It's one of the 49ers, Seahawks, Vikings, or Packers. I don't feel confident in any of those.
No. I mean, the Green Bay's had its ups and downs. Obviously, they beat the Giants today. I didn't look at any of those statistics, but I still...
They buried them when they needed to. It was close for a while,
and then
it ended up being 31-18, I think, was the final. But, you know, that's a 13-point win that was comfortable the whole time.
Right.
Good teams do that.
Right. There was nothing comfortable about part of the game. I had to listen on the radio, and it was uncomfortable, even that part of my day. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Joel. Joel on the cell. Thanks for calling 97.5.
I'm here.
Fanatic.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Just making sure. No, I went to the game today. I was actually... I mean, it was impressive. Like, I'm not going to blame Wentz. But the only problem I had with Wentz is that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't win the game. Why can't Wentz just win a game for us, you know? I mean, you know, he's in it. He does good. Okay, you know, ever since he got back after that, you know, at MVP year 2 years ago, he hasn't come out, you know, and with his regular self and just win the game, you know? Just win a game for once, you know? I think... It could have happened today, especially for a 2-9 team. You know, why can't he just put together something and just win a game? What do you think, D?
Well, I would say this. Do you think that it's on him all by himself to win a game? I know I've seen...
No, you know you want that. You know, just a little bit of... You know, he missed... who did he miss down there a couple times? You know, he had a couple...
I know he overthrew Alshon. Let's see. On the drive after, they went up... first of all, when they were up 28-20, the missed field goal was unfortunate because Elliott has been so solid. They missed that 49-yarder. That changes the complexity of the game also.
Yeah, it changed a little bit. But, I mean, the actual fake kick was crazy. So, that to me, the momentum switched there immediately for some reason. But still... Like, I'm sitting at the game, you know, and then it's 28-20. I'm thinking, you know, they still had a good chance to, you know, it's a 2-9 Dolphins team. Like,
oh,
I
know.
We need something to put that over, you know?
Yeah.
Put that away.
Well, even when you're, that's what it was. When they were up 28-20, that was the miss. They go down the field, they miss the field goal. Now they go back the other way, meaning. Good old Fitzpatrick, one of his five consecutive drives for a touchdown. And then when the Eagles got the ball back, that's when you're talking about. I believe it was 3-and-out, and they were all pass plays. And at least one of them was definitely over. Like, he had no chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's frustrating.
What do you feel about the Wentz thing? I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, okay, let's not blame it on Wentz. He had a decent game. It seems like I hear that consecutive weeks after consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Wentz is a bad quarterback.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. You want the guy, you want to feel like he can take a team down the field. And, you know, he's in control of the situation. His guys on the line, meaning his skill players and his line, know that he's going to be able to do this. And I will say, I don't see that behavior. At least it doesn't come across the screen for me.
Exactly. I think that's more a great of an argument of people saying that, oh, Wentz is terrible. He's not terrible.
No, he's got, oh,
he's
gosh,
just not
no.
giving us that last minute, oh, I'm going to win this game type of thing.
Yeah, he's not. I appreciate the phone call. And thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. When we come back, Tyler, I want you to put, like, how do you describe who Wentz is in the scheme of other quarterbacks in this league? Not from a skill standpoint of, like, when you need something,
okay.
Where does he rank?
Are we putting them on an even playing field, or are we using the teams that they have around them? Because that impacts a lot of quarterbacks.
It does. All right, I'll think about that.
Okay.
610-632-0975. Mike from King of Prussia, you're up next on the other side. Jay, you too. We have a few open phone lines. Again, 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.